morning. This is KBBI Homer, AM 890. The time is 9:02 a.m. And you are tuned to the Thursday COVID Brief. I'm Kathleen Gustafson, and I hear the typing keys of Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital in the other.
Good morning, everybody. Line, busted.
The tie line is on. Nurse Lauren Carroll, are you on the line yet? Okay, not yet. We might get Nurse Lauren a little later. And Peggy Erkeniff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District will be calling at about 9:15. And Jenny Carroll from the city is on the phone. Jenny, are you there?
I'm here.
Great. Thanks so much for, let's start with Dorotha, because I know that there were two cases identified on the Southern Peninsula, not the Homer area, but two in the general area of the Southern Kenai Peninsula. And so can you talk a little bit about the numbers for Homer right now?
You bet. So we've had two new cases identified, like you said, on the Southern Peninsula in our entire region, and that was yesterday. But prior to that, there's really been, you know, low case numbers on the Southern Peninsula. I'd like to point out, too, that we have so many different ways to test now. The hospital is just one of the testing sites. But, you know, other clinics, for example, SVT, Ninilchik, the dental offices, other places in the peninsula and around the state do testing. So it's very much, you know, it's very difficult to align test results with hospital numbers, et cetera. We have not had any hospitalizations here for several months for COVID, and the school district is on green for the entire peninsula, but definitely for the Southern Peninsula. So far, so good as far as community spread.
Okay.
And Kathleen, this is Jenny. I have a little to add to that, actually.
Go ahead.
The state gave out a weekly case analysis just this morning, and for the Kenai Peninsula Borough, they gave a breakdown of the average new cases from August, mid-August through mid-September. So the case count from August 16th to the 29th for the Kenai Peninsula Borough was at 5.8 new cases average for that week. The following week, August 23rd through September 5th, that went down to 2.9 average new cases for the week. And right now, August 30th through September 12th, we're down to 2.2 average new cases per week. So the Kenai Peninsula is doing a great job at decreasing the numbers of cases that we're getting over time. And I just want to encourage people to stick with the program. It's working. It's great. And that's not the case for the whole state. While there was a slight decrease in the state in late August, they're now predicting that the case numbers are going to rise again statewide, not on the Kenai Peninsula Borough. So it's not really a time to let up our guard just because our numbers are great, but to just keep doing our preventative measures so that we can keep these case counts down and keep people healthy and businesses going. So I would add to that.
It's going to be a little more challenging now that fall is here. Like, we really have to remind ourselves of what that is. It's keep your distance, which is a little harder when you're inside more. Wear your mask, wash your hands, just really pay attention to those small things that clearly make a difference.
Okay, thanks. Nurse Lauren Carroll, can you hear me? And let's see if I can hear you.
Hi, Kathleen, you're loud and clear.
Hey, I've got you. I hear you're having a little trouble hearing Dorotha, but I will repeat anything germane.
Copy.
Thank you for being here this morning. And I do have a couple of questions, one of which is there were two cases identified in this last week or in the last couple of days on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. I can't find a path to figuring out where they were when they were identified. Is there a way to know if they were out of state or maybe up north or if they were in Homer or, you know, in the area?
Yeah, that's a good question, Kathleen, and actually without, if it's not mentioned in DHSS's update via email, that information won't be released. The extent of the variables that are released to the general public in this scenario would be limited to the stuff that you'll find in the dashboard.
Okay. Can you give us an overview of the state numbers? And then I've got a couple of questions for you that have been sent in.
Yeah, sure thing. You know, in USA, we're up to 6.6 million cases and just about 200,000 deaths. Here in Alaska, we're at 6,444 cases. So of those roughly 6,400 cases, about 34% have recovered so far. And we've had a grand total of 256 hospitalizations and 44 deaths. And down here on our end of the road, on Southern Kenai Peninsula, we've had 119 cases. And, you know, almost half of those cases are thought to be secondary transmission. So what I mean by that is these are folks that got COVID-19 from a close contact that they were probably living with, working with, or go to school with.
Thank you. If you have any questions for the panel, the number to call is 235-7721, or much easier, you can email your comments to info@kbbi.org. Nurse Lauren, I got some in my email for you about recovered cases, which you were just talking about. Have any recovered cases in Alaska been reinfected? And are you seeing, you have seen some?
Oh, no, I'm just acknowledging that that's a really good question. Those are things that we're thinking about every day, too. You know, at this point, there's been no known or reported reinfections of COVID-19. And we're thinking that, in general, we presume that folks are immune up to 3 months after infection. But, you know, kind of given that the pandemic is, you know, just now unfolding or getting going, that information's not going to be known for a while. And I think you probably had another question about... Well, I'll just let you ask. Go ahead.
You just answered the other one, which was the second half of that question, which was, are you seeing any data yet on immunity and how long it may last? You said you're supposing about 3 months, but is that... How solid is that information? Still up in the air?
Oh, yeah, good. Yeah, that's another good question. You know, in the world of global science, there's very roughly kind of a couple different kinds of study. You know, we think of it as retrospective and prospective. And the idea there is that a lot of research is done after the fact. So some research is impossible to do in real time. And so we'll know more as the pandemic continues to unfold.
Well, I think this next question will be much the same answer, so I won't make you repeat it. But the final question that I got is, anyone in the state for DHSS tasked with tracking health effects of COVID in Alaska once a person is designated as recovered?
So, oh, gosh, you've got good questions today.
And I've got good listeners.
that kind of highlights... you know, the reason why healthcare providers and contact tracers are asking things like, hey, can I collect your social security number or verify that I have it correct? And also asking things like race and ethnicity and previous health conditions, because all that information confidentially and legally gets stored in a medical record. And it's that information that allows us to study it real time, but also retrospectively. And that's how we're able to, say these important things and paint the picture of why things like COVID-19 impact Black people and Alaska Natives more than non-Natives and white folks.
Okay, thanks, Nurse Lauren. I want to move to Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. The last I heard on Monday's briefing, you had expanded the visitor protocols at the hospital.
We have, Kathleen. Thank you. So, with the low level of community spread right now and the low level of positive COVID cases being seen at the hospital or at the clinics and everything, we reviewed all the data and looked at risk levels and our infection prevention team determined that we could go to what is called minor risk level for visitation protocols. So what the change that that makes is specific to hospitalized patients. Everybody knows the importance of family and loved ones and friends as a part of maintaining good health and as an important part of healing. And so it's always the goal that we can have offer that here. And now with the low level, we are able for hospitalized patients in the acute care, they are permitted two visitors at a time. Not just one visitor per stay, but up to two visitors at a time. Now, those visitors have to be either household members or regular close contact of the patient. So now is not the time to catch up with an old friend you haven't seen in a long time while you're in the hospital. The new visitation guidelines are specifically to allow a hospitalized patient to connect with household members or close contacts, those really close family members. Visitors must mask at all times and do the screening at the door and try to maintain safe distances from those they're visiting. It's different if the patient is COVID positive or under investigation. So in those cases, it'll be more on a case-by-case basis. The goal will be to allow one visitor, even for a COVID positive patient, but they'll have to manage that on a case-by-case basis. OB, ER, imaging, lab, those outpatient areas, they still remain one visitor per visit, but basically per stay. So excited to offer that as long as we possibly can, as the risk level changes, which would be based on community level spread or an outbreak, then we will be changing, and it will change, it could possibly change on a daily basis. So I encourage folks to check the hospital website for those updates.
Okay, I have a couple questions piling up. I hear you're having trouble hearing Lauren. I think Lauren is also having trouble hearing you. I'm sorry about that. Now, this one I think is for Nurse Lauren. Poppy says, how come such a small percentage, 30%, have been designated as recovered? How long is the virus lasting? How is the sickness lasting on average in Alaska?
Nice. Thanks for that question. In terms of how many folks have recovered, I reported roughly 34% of the 6,444 statewide have recovered. Those numbers come from the dashboard, and how we generate those specifically are from public health nurses across the state and our help from the contact tracers that call the cases on a daily basis. And what they're doing there is calling to assure that they have everything that they need in order to do what we're asking them to do, which is to isolate, to make sure that they don't transmit that COVID-19 virus from one person to the next. And so when someone is recovered or released from isolation, then that information gets reported back within the Division of Public Health through the Section of Epidemiology to update the dashboard. So as you can imagine, with that much data and with a relatively small workforce compared to 730,000 people in the state, there can be a little bit of a lag. But over time, if you kind of back up and look at that information over the course of a week or two, it's pretty accurate. So that's how we get those numbers for folks that have recovered.
Do you have an estimate of how long the average is for people going from designated as COVID positive to designated as recovered? Is there an average time?
You know, I actually don't have an average, and I don't want to give incorrect information, but I certainly have a range.
Okay.
COVID-19, we know, is an acute virus. And what we mean by that, or that's a different way of saying that the virus can't exist within a host for more than 14 days. Now, there are exceptions, but they're very few. But it's safe to say that the virus is all done within a human host at 14 days or beyond.
Okay. Thank you, Nurse Lauren. Jenny Carroll from the city, I've left you hanging over there for a little while. I want to check in with you about anything that's new on your list from the city to get out, and also a general update on how CARES Act funding is going. Are you receiving applications for the new set of CARES Act funds?
Sure. We can change the pace of the conversation a little bit from our physical health to financial health, and part of that is through the city's CARES Act funding programs to help support people who are experiencing financial hardship from the COVID-19. So the Small Business Economic Relief Grant Program has been going for several weeks now. It closes next week, September 25th. So far, we've funded 324 local businesses at a total of $972,000 going out into the community. This is round one of the Small Business Economic Relief Grants. It was intended primarily to get support out quickly to businesses experiencing loss. It was a flat fee. There is still about $2 million left in that fund, and the city is currently accepting more CARES Act funding from the borough. And looking at, currently we're looking at a round two that would be based a little more around increasing the impact of these funds for very vulnerable businesses. So stay tuned for that. Round two will be coming out, but people still have the opportunity to apply through September 25th for the $3,000 small business grants. Then last week, the city opened up the grant programs for nonprofit organizations, social services organizations, and child care businesses. And in the first week, we saw applications coming in. We've provided funding currently, or that in the first week, for 7 nonprofits and 4 social service organizations, giving out nearly $100,000 in that first week, which is great. That program is, I would like to put out a special call to child care businesses to get applications in. We did not receive any applications in the first week. We anticipate getting some, but I want to put a special call out there. If you have your child in a child care organization, have parents reach out. We're reaching out ourselves on behalf of the city to encourage businesses to apply to that program. The deadline to apply is October 2nd. And if anyone has questions, you can go to the City of Homer website, or you can contact one of the program managers. Sarah Perman is the program manager for the nonprofit child care and social service grants. Her phone number is 299-0523, and you can also find that on the website. Jody Masti is the program manager for the Small Business Economic Relief Grant Program. Her number is 299-5978. I had a question last week. I'll get ready to close here. You had asked if commercial fishing businesses were eligible for the city's small business relief grants. And no, they are not. But the Kenai Peninsula Borough just opened their round two on the 14th for small businesses. And commercial fishing businesses are eligible through the borough program. So I would encourage commercial fishing businesses who are looking to receive any kind of CARES Act support or need it, they can go to the City of Homer website and click on the link COVID-19 Economic Relief button. That's on the main page of the city's website. And there's a link to the borough program. So
thank you, Jenny.
Encourage people to look around at what's out there.
Thanks, Jenny, from the City of Homer. Peggy Yerkeneff is on the line from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. And I see by going to kpbsd.k12.ak.us, at the school district's website, that all communities on the peninsula right now are at low risk. So everybody's in class, or at least classes have resumed even up on the central peninsula, right?
That is correct. So there is an option for on-site at-school learning at all of our schools, all 42 schools now. So good job to everybody on the peninsula who's been doing their part to keep the risk levels low on the peninsula so we can be open.
And I want to get an update on food programs.
Food programs now, since we're in low, and even if we were in medium, everybody that goes to school can receive their lunches just like they normally would. And then for anybody that's doing 100% remote learning, they have the option of getting meals for the week, once a week. So they put everybody, you need to place your order by noon on Friday for the following week, every week, and then you pick up on Wednesday morning at the pickup sites, and you get a week's worth of the breakfast and lunches that you order.
And the other question that I have on my list is, are you still understaffed? Do you need employees? And where do you need them?
Yeah, we need substitutes. And I did a little story on that on Friday afternoon. It's on the homepage of our website. So we have a new thing in place for our substitute training as well. So anybody that goes through the process on the website and does their background check and applies to become a substitute, then can have one day of on-the-job training where they job shadow the person that they would be subbing for, and they're paid for that. So we've changed the way that we're doing the training, so you actually have on-the-job job shadow training. So what I'd ask is anybody who has an interest in becoming a substitute in a school, give a call to that school principal and ask what the biggest needs are in the school, and then start working from there. And maybe you only have a couple hours a week. And it's a way, though, that, as one principal said to me, it's going to take a village right now. And there's a couple reasons that we do need substitutes more this year. One is obviously because of COVID, and we knew going into this year that at any given time, about 20% of our staff and our substitute pool of current substitutes might not be available. And then the other piece that we put into place, and you've heard us talk about this, is the symptom-free school protocol. So we need our schools to be as healthy as possible. And as we head into flu season and head into colds and everything, most of the time we're tough as Alaskans, and we just power through stuff and show up, and kids come to school with runny noses, and we're keeping, especially for our staff, as symptom-free as we can in the school, because we know that the COVID or coronavirus mirrors and mimics some similar symptoms to just a cold. And so if you're sick and you don't feel good or have any symptoms, we're asking people not to come to work, which then also increases the need for substitutes.
That one's tough, too, because I know this culture, I was raised in it, we get congratulated for soldiering on and going to work sick or going to school sick. And it's something you have to remind yourself of, that you're not, that by taking care of yourself, you're not slacking.
That's so important, Kathleen, because it's true. And many of us come from that generation as well. And then you add, we're Alaska tough, that we do what we need to do to get the job done or get through what we need to do. We're used to tough winters. We're pretty hardy. And we know how to just keep powering through. But this is not the year to do that, because what could happen is somebody could come to work and take some Advil because they weren't feeling that great. And we know now that the symptoms for COVID can be so mild that we don't even realize that we've got them. And so we could unintentionally expose others by being out in the community or being in the workplace when, in fact, if we would have stayed home, we might not have done that. We do have good protocols in our schools where, you know, the masks are being worn by grades 3 and higher, and we've got our cohorts, or that's kind of a weird word. I'm changing it to pods, okay. Our learning pods, and we've got a lot of things in place. But if you don't feel good, we're asking people to stay home, and so we need some subs to come in and assist in all different types of positions. So give a call to your neighborhood school if you've got some time and you're willing to be trained, and maybe this is a way you can help out this year.
Okay, thanks, Peggy. The only other thing I have on my list is to ask about extracurricular activities and sports.
So we still are following the OSSA guidelines. They changed again this weekend.
And what's the change?
This past weekend. And so we're working with the statewide guidelines.
Well,
and I haven't actually seen everything that changed.
Okay, yeah. we'll get to that. It's about time for me to go around for final comments. But I do have a question from a listener, that I'm not really sure we can address, so I'm going to throw it to Nurse Lorne. And anyone is welcome to comment on this. Someone who called in and left a message wants to know why Anchor Point postal workers aren't wearing masks. Now, I don't think any of us can answer that question, but I thought I would ask Nurse Lorne to talk about the importance of wearing masks. Are you wearing a mask at work, Nurse Lorne?
Yeah, sure thing. You know, we wear masks in work when we can't maintain 6 feet or more apart. But, you know, fortunate for us, we do population-focused healthcare. So, you know, a lot of the work that we do is regarding systems via telephone and a computer. So we're not really forced to be in close proximity, you know, like our friends at the hospital. But in terms of Anchor Point Postal Service, you know, I can't really speak for them.
Right. And I want to move on to Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. Dorotha, is there anything we missed on your list to give information to get out to people today?
Well, I just want to remind everybody about testing, that we offer testing 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the hospital's main entrance. And 10 a.m. seems to be the big rush. So if you have flexibility in your schedule and you're planning to come test, you might want to wait until later in the afternoon, because 10 a.m. is a super busy time. If you call in advance, 235-0235. If you want to talk symptoms, ask to talk to the COVID nurse, but the COVID nurse does not arrive until 10. And again, it's super busy time. If you just want to register to make your trip faster, then when you call that number, you can just say you want to register. Testing is free, but insurance information will be collected. And you have to have an ID, but we're here 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Any symptom that's on that list or unexplained symptoms will be looked at and discussed as well.
And
so don't hesitate to test. And Kathleen, on sports, I just want to let everybody know, at the Booster Club meeting at the high school this week, they did announce that all, if not most, home events will be televised on YouTube on the school's channel, so you can participate safely from home and enjoy the local activities while they happen. Thanks
Dorotha. And I heard something at the meeting about you're planning to move the testing site, but you haven't done that yet.
Our plan is to open our winter site on Tuesday, October 6th.
Election day.
It will be here at the hospital's campus, so, you know, in the general area of the hospital, but it will be winter, snow, and ice friendly. So look forward to details on that on next week's program.
Thank you. And Jenny Carroll from the city?
Sure. One plug out to have people get out and vote. Currently, the absentee in-person voting will be opening at City Hall on Monday, September 21st. That's for the borough and the City of Homer elections. We encourage everyone to get their voice out there in the elections. We do in-person absentee voting for people who are in precincts 29 through 32. And you'll come into the city clerk's office area during regular business hours, Monday through Friday, and that goes through Monday, October 5th, just before the election day. So remind everyone that process is opening on Monday.
Okay, thanks. Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer. Peggy Erkineff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Is there anything else on your list for today?
Two quick things. One, I have launched our new COVID hub on our website, kpbsd.org. You can get to it from the homepage, and there is an icon for all the different topics that are of interest to people. I also included on there template letters, so if there's a positive case in a school or an outbreak, parents and the community can read kind of what would happen. The principals would personalize those letters, but there's four different letters on there. And finally, if somebody is a close contact to a positive case and they are attached to our school, we're really encouraging them to get tested, so we can know right away if they test negative, that then we don't have to backtrack into contact tracing at the school
if they were negative at the time that they were a close contact of somebody else.
Thanks, Peggy Erkinette from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Homer Public Health Center. Thank you all for being on. Dorotha, can you stay on for just a minute?
Sure.
Okay, because I have a question. You said something at the city council meeting on Monday that I just have to ask for 2 seconds about. So you have roving bands of rogue performers dancing and performing on the lawn so that people who are in their rooms can be entertained. Do I have that right?
I would love that, and we would be happy to make that happen.
But what was it?
What we have right now have been just a variety of community effort to reach out and connect to residents and sometimes hospitalized patients, but mainly long-term care residents. So for example, we had a group come up and do some kind of horn blowing and sign waving and cheering below the windows at long-term care. On Sundays, we have the Homer Animal Friends dog training class come and do their training exercises in the parking lot and over on the lawn to the side of long-term care. So those two areas, the parking lot and the lawn, they are visible if residents know in advance to go out to the windows or to for some of them to go on the deck to be able to watch. So if there's anything, whether it's colorful, like we're even brainstorming how maybe Halloween might be a great time for some activities to happen in the lawn or the parking lot that the residents can watch from the safely watch from the windows of the deck, still feel connected to community, still have some, you know, different activity and stimulation than what they might get in the regular on a regular basis inside the nursing home. We are open for ideas and suggestions.
Well, thanks, Dorotha Ferraro. Oh, wait, say that again.
399-6212.
Thanks. I was talking over you. Thanks, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, and have a terrific day.
Thank you.
Bye. And this has been the regular weekly Thursday COVID-19 brief. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. Let's do a brief weather check.